Are you frustrated by cranky customers who demand everything and want to pay nothing? Do you have trouble getting your staff to serve your customers well all the time? Does the thought of competing with companies like Amazon terrify you? Is it a struggle to get your colleagues to even believe in the importance of great customer service? These are the sorts of challenges we deal with here on the Frank Reactions podcast. You'll hear from people who are in the trenches dealing with these issues every day, and from the researchers and thinkers who can help you move your business forward. Welcome to the Frank Reactions podcast on customer experience, helping you profit from the digital era through better customer experiences online and off. My name is Temma Frank. This is episode 115, and today we're talking to Richard Court, who is the Director of Service Excellence at LegalZoom.com. It's an interesting company to look at because they have an indirect relationship with their customers. They provide subscription-based access to lawyers and legal services so that the ultimate consumer buys the service. And the lawyers are kind of like distributors in that their behavior reflects very strongly on whether or not customers feel good about the service they get. So on the one hand, LegalZoom is marketing to the end user, but they also have to make sure that the service is being provided well by these people who are not their employees. So we talk in this interview about some of the challenges that exist with a dual relationship like this. There's a surprising amount of similarity to the hiring, training, and monitoring of contact center staff, with apologies to any high-trained lawyers who are listening out there. But the reality is, in both cases, there's essentially constant monitoring of customer feedback that is used to coach and help keep them on their toes when they're talking to customers. So even if you're not a lawyer or offering legal services, this episode has some great tips about what to look for in hiring someone who will be providing direct customer service, whether it be an attorney or a call center agent. Fundamentally, in either case, it still all boils down to people skills. You'll also hear about potential uses of artificial intelligence in assessment of service providers and in your coaching of customer-facing staff. Let's get straight to the interview.
Hi, I'm Richard Court. I work with LegalZoom.com. My position is the Director of Service Excellence, and in that position, I'm responsible for ensuring that our network of attorneys that service our legal plan provide top-notch services to our customers.
The attorneys you're working with, they're all sort of on independent contracts with you? Is that how it goes?
Correct. We work with a network of approximately 110 to 120 independent attorneys. They are cover all 50 states and D.C., and they are all on a contract basis to us. We are not a law firm, and so we contract with various law firms and attorneys to service the legal plan that we have.
So that actually adds a really interesting wrinkle to the whole customer experience part, because since they're not actually your employees, anything you do to try and improve their customer service skills, you really have to get them to buy in. You can't just say this is the way it's going to be. Well, to a certain extent, you probably screen them for a bit of that, or do you? How does that work?
There's a little bit of screening that goes on at the beginning, and then we try and have a little chat with them beforehand to see how they are on the phone, because all of their interactions with our customers are on the phone.
Okay.
And also to get a little sense of their personality while on the phone as well. That's kind of the basics. And then we do some functional training in terms of using our platform. And then we have some follow-up in terms of making sure that they're presenting the consultation experience to the customer in a way that we've learned works best.
So what kind of follow-up? How do you do that?
On occasion, we will do a secret shop, which is pretty unique in a legal sense. They agree to this beforehand, so they know it's going to happen at some time. They don't, I think in the hundreds of shops we've done, I think there's been one that the attorney felt that they were being shopped. And there have been a number where they thought they were being shopped, but in fact they were not. So they're always on their toes for that. And we do that really so that we can hear what a consultation would sound like if it were a real consultation. These are questions taken from our database of what customers typically ask. And we work with a firm that does secret shops, mm-hmm. Mystery shops, rather. And we work with them to pretend they're a customer. They've been pretty good at it. Anyway, so we record that call, and then we play it back to hear what it sounds like. And in some cases, we'll present it to the attorney to have them hear what they sound like, because we've found that people generally don't know what they sound like.
Yeah,
they don't understand how they speak in terms of pacing or volume or stuttering in terms of the ums.
Mm-hmm.
All of these kind of things. So we try and help them improve their presentation skills and give them an outline to work with to follow that we've found works best in terms of introduction, a little bit of getting to know the customer, updating what the problem is, then letting them give their best advice to the customer, and then some follow-up at the end in terms of a closeout, next steps kind of thing.
And the way your service works, are customers paying by the minute the way they are with a regular law firm, or are they paying you some kind of flat fee? How does that work?
It's typically either a monthly subscription or an annual subscription.
Okay.
Many of the subscribers receive a 30-day trial with a product that they purchase from us, or they can just simply buy the subscribe to the legal plan.
Okay, so it's subscription-based, because I think, yes. You know, one of the challenges that I've seen in dealing with professionals like lawyers in particular, accountants to a lesser extent, but is when you're paying by the minute, you don't necessarily want them being really friendly and chatty, who's paying for this minute,
Right, absolutely.
Yeah, so that can pose some problems. So when you go over one of these recorded phone calls with the lawyers, do you find that they tend to be defensive?
No, actually, I've found that the attorneys that we work with tend to be more competitive than anything else, and they want to do a good job, and they continue to improve their skills.
Okay.
So they are very receptive to what we find and the cues that we give them on an ongoing basis as a response to something the customer may say. They definitely want to do better. Pre-consultation experience can be reviewed by the customer. There's always somebody looking over their, they're always looking over their shoulder to make sure it's a good review, because they do get sensitive when they get a bad review. But they're very open to us giving them helpful hints.
Who can read those reviews? Where are they visible?
The reviews are visible on our website. Each attorney has their own profile page.
Okay.
You can get to those profiles through the website. Generally, customers look at it during their scheduling process when they go to request a consultation. They can look at the attorney and they can look at their profile that time, decide whether they want that attorney or move on to another one and see who's available for them. So they can check the attorneys out. And we do know that the customers do use those profiles and also the ratings and the number of consultations they've done in their decision-making in terms of which attorney they select.
So do they already have to be a customer, though, or becoming a customer in order to see those, or could any member of the public go in and look at them?
The profiles are visible to the public,
okay. But
the reviews are only available to someone who has completed a consultation.
Ah, okay. So from that perspective, then, the lawyer is still getting some free marketing from it without the downside of a possible negative review for the public.
Well, they wouldn't get a negative review from the public in general because there's no interaction, and we're not a marketing site.
Yeah.
So it's not like anybody can say, I called the attorney for something out of the blue and they didn't take my call. In our situation, we want you to have an experience with the attorney and then write your review, because it's internal to our whole legal plan process.
Are there public websites like RateMyMD? Is there something similar for lawyers?
Well, there's a number of websites for attorneys now where they are getting rated.
Sure. No, it's sort of on my mind. I just finished writing an article for a hotel publication about reviews and how to deal with negative ones. So
yeah.
From a customer experience perspective, to a certain extent, your customers are the lawyers, but they're also the customers who are paying for the service, I guess.
Well, we have our customer is still our customer, but the provider of services to the customer is the third party attorney rather than perhaps our document production staff.
Right.
The other side of our business is preparing do-it-yourself documents.
You've been in that role for how long, Richard?
About 7 years now.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So it's been a little while. Have you, over time, changed any of the things that you're doing in how you handle customer experience that the lawyers are providing?
Not that much. The initial, well, probably changed from the very beginning because we were working with very little data. Now we have very large database of consultation reviews. So we've seen what the customer has said. We've classified or categorized those responses so we get a sense of where the issues are. Some issues that were issues at the beginning are no longer issues or only issues that pop up rarely. So we're constantly looking for things out of the norms that there are trending rather than simple one-offs for those trends. And when we see a trend, we'll address it. Well, we address everything. We address the one-offs and the trends, but we're more concerned with the trend rather than a one-off, because in the situation of a one-to-one conversation, many things can be different one to the next. The time of day is different. The customer's issue is different. The weather is different, whatever it might be. And on the other side of our business, for example, or in any more typical online retailer, the product is the same all the time. The experience is going to be the same all the time.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of consistency there. With our attorneys, there's a lot of inconsistency. So while we're concerned about those one-off instances, and we will address those one-on-one, we're really looking for those that are more systemic.
Sure. So what sort of issues are you seeing by way of trends now versus what you saw earlier?
Yeah, the biggest trend we've seen now, and it continues, it's been about 2 years now that we've been seeing this a lot, is we are seeing a lot of internet attorneys coming in to talk to our attorneys. And by that, I mean that a customer has gone to the internet and researched whatever it is their problem is, and come into the conversation knowing either a little or a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they're right on target and sometimes they're not. And dealing with a customer who thinks they already know the answer is a little bit more difficult than dealing with a customer who is looking for an answer.
Right, yeah.
A different set of expectations. So we've had to adjust to that a little bit and give the attorneys some tools and some guidelines and some not scripts necessarily, but some direction in terms of how to respond to the customer.
Right. So that's an issue doctors have had to deal with too.
Yes.
Dr.
Exactly.
Google.
Exactly. We have Google Esquire.
Yeah, exactly. What are some of the biggest challenges that you have faced in this role that you've got?
I would say that the biggest challenge is continuing to keep the attorneys on their toes and aware of that every consultation has to be as good as the first consultation of the morning. Some of our attorneys do this all day long. Their entire practice is talking to our customer.
Hmm.
On the other hand, some of the attorneys only spend an hour or 2 hours a day doing phone calls. And it's a little easier on them. But the ones that are really focused on talking to our customers all day long, it's keeping these guys focused on making sure that they are giving as good a consultation or as good an experience to the customer they talk to at 4:30 in the afternoon as the one when they are first in the morning and fresh and raring to go and rested, all that. So the trick has been to try and find a way to keep them motivated and refreshed so that it always sounds as if that customer is the only customer they're talking to that day.
So how can they do that? What do you recommend that they do?
I recommend they take a breath. They step back after each consultation, do a little refresher, a little clear their mind kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Put aside any of the issues that they've talked about in the prior conversation because I don't know if that conversation was a very positive conversation or a confrontational conversation or however that worked out. It's really to take a breath, refresh yourself, clear your head, put on a smile, and dial the phone. Mostly it works. It's if they think about it, they do it. Sometimes they get into a zone and they're just making the calls all day long. They don't realize they're getting into that zone. I can pretty well see from the reviews, if I look at it on a time, if I spread it on a chart and the times that the consultations were, I pretty well can see if it's a morning consultation or an afternoon consultation and get a sense that, okay, I can see this guy is kind of losing it in the end of the day. He tends to be a little bit shorter in his conversations or a little bit more curt in the conversation, something like that. So we'll look at that and we give these guys a heads up. And we say, hey, you know, maybe you need to schedule some space in between your consultations just to kind of get a refresher.
Mm-hmm. So are you basing that then on the length of the conversations, on the customer feedback, or do you actually record the calls routinely?
No, we can't record the calls because that would be getting into an attorney-client privilege issue. Okay. We really just look at the review comments and we try and decipher what the sentiment is or what the intent is and take it from there. And the attorney has access to all of the reviews as well.
Right.
So they see them as well. They get a little extra, little bump when a negative one comes through. So they'll get a little flag on that one. But to address it and to respond to it, because we always want to know both sides of the story. But we'll watch it and we'll try and determine when things are beginning to go a little bit to the side there, and what we think that might work for that particular attorney, because each one is a little different, what we think might work for that particular attorney to bring him back into a really top position so that whatever consultation he's giving, it's always going to be the best consultation he gives.
So are customers presented with a survey request then at the end of every interaction with the lawyer?
Yes. Every consultation results in a survey option.
Okay.
Very close to right after the consultation is complete, or usually no later than 24 hours later.
Okay. And is that like an NPS type thing, or?
Yeah, it's a combination survey, actually. So we take first part of the survey is a star rating of the 5 stars.
Okay.
And they can rate the attorney on overall and knowledge and friendliness and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And give us some comments. And that portion of the survey is what's published. So the ratings that the attorney, or the public sees rather, are on a scale of 1 to 5 stars. So typically our attorneys are somewhere in the range of 4.8 stars, rarely less than that.
Mm-hmm.
We also have the Net Promoter question in the survey, but that is strictly an internal question. And because of the nature of how the customer gets to the consultation experience, that particular question for us is a little broader in terms of what it's covering. A lot of times we hear comments about other interactions with the different parts of the company because they may have started their experience with LegalZoom creating a will. And then at the end of that process, they want to talk to the attorney about some questions they have. So we get it after that experience, or they've decided they want to form a company, so they're registering an LLC or a corporation, and then they want to talk to the attorney somewhere afterwards. So in those cases, we see a lot of whatever that interaction may have been in front, either positive or negative, some of that slips over into the comments we see in our Net Promoter question. It's heavily weighted toward the attorneys, but we do often see a broader perspective there. So
when you're initially interviewing somebody who's interested in coming onto your legal team, what sorts of characteristics or behaviors do you look for that make you think that they would be able to handle this well?
They got to like to talk. They got to like to listen. They got to like people.
Okay.
If they're not a people person, there's nothing we're going to be able to do to change it.
Right.
A lot of professionals, attorneys, accountants, doctors, they're very into that professional lingo, the whole professional box of whichever profession they've chosen, and they've forgotten they still have to interact with the outside world. So they may be a great researcher, they may be a great writer, but they have to be able to translate whatever it is, whether it's law or medical or whatever. They have to be able to translate that so that the customer understands it. And the one thing I continue to tell our team of attorneys is that you have to speak to the customer from their perspective. You have to listen to find out what it is they want to achieve, and you have to work toward that goal of theirs.
Yeah.
Yes, you want to tell them what you know, but you have to tell them in a way that they're going to understand it so they can walk away and say, okay, I wanted to find out about X, and I found out about X, and now I understand it.
So what drives people to come and work with you? Just they don't like doing their own sales, or?
No, that's a good question. We basically, when we're looking for a new firm, we kind of reach out. There are many attorneys that, that will sign up with us for one of our the programs we have, and we'll go through that database and see if there's somebody in the area that we're looking for with the right kind of experience that we're looking for. But a lot of times, certainly the most recently, the most recent set of attorneys that we've added, or rather, the most recent set of firms that we've added, we reach out to them. We're looking for a particular kind of firm of a certain size, certain set of skills, and then we have the conversation. And if they sound interested in helping our customers, and they sound good on the phone, and they sound excited about the possibility of changing the way law is practiced, then we'll continue on a conversation. If they're not willing to change in terms of how they practice law, that's probably a non-starter, because it's just not going to work out. And if they don't like talking to people and helping people, that's a non-starter.
So the agreement is with a firm, and so their group of lawyers, rather than with an individual lawyer?
Yeah, we actually contract with the firm, and then the firm provides the attorneys from within their firm to serve it, to actually talk to the customer.
Okay.
We do a primary vet on the firm, and then we also individually vet out the attorneys that they've presented to us to work with us.
Okay. All right. That's pretty cool. I mean, it's exciting to see how the industry is changing. It was certainly one that I think was ripe for change. And, I think there are still a lot of lawyers who haven't figured out the customer relationship aspect of things, who kind of like doctors feel we know everything and you should just listen and obey. So I think that, you know, there are still certainly lawyers who have a lot of learning to do on the customer service skills, and not everyone's ready, as you say, to hear that.
There has been a big change.
Yeah.
Automation has changed quite a bit of it. The internet has changed quite a bit of it. But and the attorneys have to begin to understand there's a different way of working now, and they have to adapt to that. The old way of doing it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And it's changing not just from the small solos, it's changing all the way up to the very largest firms.
Well, and it's interesting because law is one of those fields where I think artificial intelligence is going to consume more and more of it.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, it's going to be going through a lot of transition over the next few years.
Absolutely. And we're just beginning to get into that a little bit, and it certainly is. It's very interesting in terms of using artificial intelligence to sift through the customer responses to that categorization of sentiments.
So what are you doing with that sort of information then?
We're moving toward being able to identify positive and negative sentiment in the customer responses.
Yeah.
Just to help us get through all of the reviews and have some consistency in terms of whether we think it's good or bad. And how we respond to it. You know, I personally have read probably over 50,000 customer reviews in the time I've been here, and I have a pretty good memory, but not that good. So if I can rely on some machine learning to help me get through the day to say I'm seeing a little bit of a trend toward XYZ kind of sentiment, then it certainly makes my life a lot easier.
So how closely does the sentiment that you're discovering using the AI mirror the star rankings that people have been giving?
So we're just getting into it, so it's a little early to say anything about that, yeah. But we have done, I have done some kind of word cloud kind of things just as a quick reference of what's going on. I would take a sample of 100 responses, do a quick word cloud on all of the comments to see what words are popping up, which is essentially the, you know, a very quick and dirty way of doing the AI. And just to kind of validate what we think we're seeing in terms of what the customers are saying or what the customers are feeling. And we'll share that information around the teams, make sure everybody's on track, and then respond to it accordingly. Either the calls are being made late, or the attorney was great, from the two ends of the spectrum.
Yeah.
And respond in an appropriate manner for them.
Okay. Richard, is there anything that you think I should have asked you and I haven't?
Not really. You know, I think that as far as customer experience in the legal profession and in professional services go, I think the critical thing is that we all listen to the customer and find out what it is they're really trying to achieve, you know, what their goal is in terms of talking to the professional, and then address that in a way that's customer-centric. We speak their language. We're talking at a pace they can understand. We're not using words they don't understand. What I always tell my attorneys is have you answered the question that they're asking?
Right.
Exactly as you've just done now, is what haven't I told you that you're really looking for?
Yeah. Interesting. Well, thank you so much for your time, Richard. It's an intriguing business model, and I hadn't really, I guess, thought about the customer experience aspect of the actual lawyer-client interaction so much with a firm like yours. And it makes sense that that's absolutely, of course, something that you're focusing on. So thank you for the interview.
Appreciate it very much.
So one piece of important learning I take from this interview is that you should always book your lawyer's appointments in the morning. Just based on reviewing customer feedback, they can generally tell if it was a morning or an afternoon consultation. How do you keep your staff energetic and enthusiastic all day long? Personally, when I worked in cubicle land, I learned that if I went to exercise during my lunch break, it would give me a great energy boost to power through the afternoon. And no doubt the quality of my work was better thanks to that break at lunchtime. Before I sign off today, just a couple of things. I've been podcasting since 2012, and I've been listening happily as the number of podcasts by others has increased. My friend Karen Unland, who's a former journalist, realized that we need some way to help small podcasts generate revenue before they become big enough to get the big companies of the world to sponsor or advertise on them. So she figured that if she focused on shows with a local audience, local advertisers could get value. And if the ads are done right, not overly intrusive or time-consuming, and maybe even entertaining, listeners won't tune out. So she created the Alberta Podcast Network, which got founding sponsorship from ATB. Now, the Frank Reactions podcast has listeners worldwide, but our content is certainly relevant to local businesses here in Alberta too. So I've decided to give the Alberta Podcast Network a try and throw my support behind this great initiative. You might also want to check out some of the other podcasts on the network. One of my favorites, just because I love the name, is Bollywood is for Lovers. How can you resist a name like that? I also like one about women in business called That's So Maven. And I see there are now quite a few other business ones that I have high on my priority list to be checking out over the next little while. You can find the full list of Alberta-based podcasts in the network at albertapodcastnetwork.com. Now I am about to head off for a winter digital detox. Well, not right away, but in a few more days. So there won't be a new episode until early in the new year. I hope you all have a wonderful holiday season, and I will talk to you in early January. Bye.